The text today is very interesting. Let me say that the average number of members of the church who come to church, possibly if you come, I can say possibly you've heard about 4,000 sermons. You probably sang 20,000 songs. You participated in 800 prayers. But how many have you brought? How many have you brought to know Jesus Christ? Before issuing the Great Commission, Jesus prepared the apostles to be his witnesses throughout the world. The church in Jerusalem grew from just 120 Christians to well over 20,000 in just a few short years. Why? Because of the diligent efforts of God's people. Although we have not seen physically the Lord our God, we have been changed by the power of his word. One of the today's needs is for Christians to proclaim their faith boldly at home and elsewhere. An essential part of preparing to fulfill the task is to recognize the challenge and realize that God will empower us to do what he wants us to do. We may not have the miraculous power of the apostles, but there's still power that works within us. The Great Commission is personal. It is individual command to every child of God to go into this world and share the good news. The text that we have read, Acts, is very interesting. If we look at the Bible, in the Old Testament, it tells us of the coming of the Messiah, of the one who will come to save mankind, to give salvation to each and every one. And then there was a silence for another 400 years. And then the Son of God came. And in the Gospel we have, the four Gospels, we have the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He came on earth to help the poor, to preach the word, to preach the kingdom of God, and to give salvation to each and everyone who believes in him. And he, according with the will of God, gave himself on the cross as a sacrifice for each and every one of us, once and for all. And then on the third day, he died, and he rose again on the third day. And that is the most marvelous thing. And as we read the Acts of the Apostles, here is the beginning of the Church of God. In these first verses that we have read from 1 to 11, it encapsulates the beginning of Jesus, the risen Christ, speaking to the apostles. And then we have a period when he tells them about the Great Commission, and then he waits that he will come back again. So let us enter into that period, because we are here during that period. From the time Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, spoke to the apostles until he cometh. This is the period we are in. Indeed, when these verses were read in the next chapter of Acts, we read how Peter went on to preach the first gospel sermon. He preached with such passion and urgency that 3,000 people responded to the invitation of Jesus. What was the difference in the evangelistic endeavors of these Christians versus those of us today. It wasn't a matter of strategy. They preached a different message. It wasn't that they gave the people what they wanted. The difference is the faith of the early disciples. They were truly convinced of the things they believed. So let us look at these verses and see. Jesus is risen. Let me read to you verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I have given you a record of the number of post-resurrection appearances, and you have seen that in the paper there. When you have time, have a look at that. In his gospel, Luke gave examples of convincing proof offered by Jesus. He had his disciples touch him. He ate food to show that he was not just a spirit. While most of Jesus' recorded appearances after the resurrection took place on the day he arose, Jesus made many appearances over a period, 40 days to be exact. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 5-8. It is page 1161. 1161 of your gospel, of your Holy Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5-8. Let me read to you. And he was first seen of Cephas, that means Peter. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren, 500 at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, and some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of by Paul also, one that was of due time. You see, this man died, and he returned to life 3 days later. This message is worth sharing over and over again. Have you heard of someone who died and alive 3 days later and shared the meals with everyone? Think back of the last time you received some exciting news. What did you do? Well, you probably call everyone. You pass your exam, you got a new job, you got a new car, a new house. You told your friends and your neighbors. You tell them all. Why can we not share the same thing, the greatest news of all? Can it be that we just don't believe that Jesus is risen? We do not have a secret to be hidden, but a story to be heralded, to be told, to be proclaimed. The gospel is not something we come to church to hear. It is something we go from church to tell. The word evangelism is evangelism. The word means good, and the word angel means messenger. So literally the word means good messaging. The word gospel comes to us from the Anglo-Saxon word meaning God's spell, which signifies God's story. We have this amazing message, this incredible story, this God's story to tell and share with everyone we know. The first century church grew by leaps and bounds because they could not hold it in. They were compelled. They were compelled to tell the story of Jesus. The disciples would say to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we were speaking on the road?" While he was explaining the scriptures to us, this was the road to Emmaus. "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Sadly, the church's declining condition today is partly due to the fact that we have lost that burning sensation. We are not excited about sharing the resurrection of Jesus. According to a survey recently, it shows that only about 53% of born-again Christians feel a responsibility to tell others of their faith. In other words, nearly half of Christians do not think it is their responsibility to share the gospel with those who do not know him. Jesus is risen. This is our message. Let us go from here and tell it to the world around us. Some say the Great Commission was given only to the apostles. Some say it is a gift. There are four reasons why every believer should share the good news. Firstly, it is given to all followers of Jesus Christ. It is a command to all believers from the risen Lord. Secondly, following the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 8 verse 1, a great persecution arose, first in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They went about sharing the gospel with others. Thirdly, Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. We have been given the greatest gift of all, a stewardship to share the message of the good news with others. For the love of Christ compels us, constrains us. Let us take confidence in the gospel, for it is the power of God, our salvation, to everyone who believes. Next, Jesus gives the commission. Let me read to you verse 6 of the Acts. "And when therefore they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And what did he say? "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons whom the Father hath put in his power." And this is what he said, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, when the apostles asked Jesus, "Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" they showed that their minds were elsewhere. They were still thinking of terms of Jesus restoring the physical glory that was Israel in the time of David and Solomon. When that time, Israel was the greatest kingdom in all the world. But when Jesus used the word kingdom, he had something different in mind. Jesus spoke of the establishment of a spiritual kingdom in which God would reign in the hearts and lives of his people. One thing the apostles understood very clearly and believed wholeheartedly was that Jesus Christ is Lord of his kingdom. He is ruling. It means that the Great Commission is not optional. As God's people, we have a mission. The early church tells of the missionary journeys of the apostles who traveled far and wide with the message of Jesus. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria." You see, this strategy outlined by our Lord remains a challenge to every generation. Start at Jerusalem. Expand to the areas nearby, Judea, Samaria, and finally reach out to all the world, the remotest part of the world, with the gospel of Jesus. This is a great and daunting responsibility. Christians are not to stand around wondering where Jesus has gone. The task is to make known of Jesus Christ is risen. The Great Commission, let me read to you the Great Commission in Matthew, page 998 of the Gospel, of your Gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Page 998 of your Gospel, of your Bible. "And Jesus came and said unto them, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and preach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world.'" In March this year, I was in Shanghai, China. And the person who was there was a good friend, the wife of a good friend. And she took me out, and I saw the wonderful things in Shanghai, these new beautiful buildings, and the Bund, which is a concrete walkway, preventing the river from flooding the city of Shanghai, which is much lower. And then she took me to the old Shanghai, and she saw me and she said, "These are the rooms of the Communist Party." And she said, "The Communists help the poor." And I said to her, "That may be true." And she said, "Look at that building there with a cross. That's a foreign religion," she said. And I said to her, "Christianity is the faith of an individual. We believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God." And I said to her in Chinese, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I said, God so loved us that we have to love him in turn, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And she looked at me and she said, no one has told us about that. No one has told us. There is so much of this wonderful news of Jesus Christ that we have to tell each and everyone. No one has told us about that. And this graph I've shown you, if we share the message, we bring someone to Christ and share the message, and in turn those two persons share the message, and in turn the other two share the message, if we do it 33 times, we reach the world, the population of the whole world. How we long for that to happen. Thirdly, Jesus is returning. Jesus is risen. Jesus gives the commission. And in these verses, Jesus is returning. Let me read to you verse 11 of Acts. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, the angel speaking to the apostles, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the manner, like manner, as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus will come in like manner. When we partake of the Holy Communion, we remember that as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we remember his coming again. You see, the words of the angels were an essential part of preparing the apostles mentally and emotionally. This message contained both a challenge and an incentive. Jesus was gone. He had gone into a different dimension. He sits with God at the right hand of God, interceding for each one of us. His work was done, but he will come again. He will return. For we believe that in the second coming of Jesus, as the first Christians did, it will make a difference. We can be assured, as his angels assured the apostles, that Jesus is coming again, and his coming will be in the same manner as he went into heaven. This return of Jesus should motivate each and every Christian to reach out to every lost soul that they may prepare for that day to come. For Jesus said, no one knows the hour or day of my coming. So be on your guard. You do not know when your Lord will come. These words seem clear enough. To disregard them is the most disappointing day in history. For the true coming of Christ will not be disappointing. It should be as anticipated. We live in a world of lost souls who one day stand in judgment, who do not know Jesus Christ. Unless we fulfill our commission and tell them the message of Jesus Christ. Indeed, our mission is more urgent. There are more unchurched people in our neighborhood. The second coming of Jesus motivates the first century Christians to take the gospel into the far corners of the earth. And it should do the same for every one of us. In a survey of 4,000 people, they show that 2-3% of people just walked into church. 2-3% came to church because of a church program. 5% came to church because they were attracted by the preacher. 1-2% came because of need. 4-5% came because of Sunday school class. 1% came because of a crusade. But 75%-80% became a convert because of the influence of friends and relatives. What should tell us is that the souls of millions depend on each one of us. When Jesus comes again, let us be prepared, for this is the job of every Christian. The Great Commission is a personal, individual command to every child of God to go into his own personal world and to share the message with every person who will listen. The New Testament places the responsibility of evangelism on every individual believer. The first and greatest passion of Jesus was to seek and save the lost. So follow the example of Jesus. We cannot be satisfied with the status quo. We must believe that something effective can be done to win souls. Let us recapture the fervor of those early founding years. They believe Jesus is risen. This gives them the message. Jesus gives them the commission, the Great Commission. This gives us the mission. We believe that Jesus is returning, and this gives us the motive. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.